So, fear of loss stops the joy of life. That's the title of this yoga set. And how I teach, I don't think, apart from Helena, none of you have had a class with me before. We've met. Have you had a class with me before?
I did Mind, Body, Spirit. So.
Okay. How I like to teach is that yoga is, the word yoga means union with the divine. And particularly when it comes to the addictive personality, a lot of what drives us to look outside of ourselves for fulfillment, and that might be a relationship, that can be food, sex, drugs, any number of things, anger, depression, all kinds of things come into this field. When you take your practice into a particular level and at a particular concentration and focus, you start to make a relationship with yourself, which is extraordinarily empowering. So I teach with this in mind. So once we start the postures, my expectation is that you will, as much as possible, work with your eyes closed. I'm not going to leave the room, and when you need to see me demonstrate a posture, have your eyes open. But you need to start making a relationship with yourself inside. And yoga means union with the divine. The way that you practice your yoga can really, really enhance your spiritual practice, because recovery is very much about rebuilding ceremonies. If you think about how you acted out, and I have no idea what you all act out with, but whatever you do when you act out, there's always a ceremony. Whether it's writing text because you're completely have got a crush on somebody, to lining up a huge vat of ice cream, to rolling a joint, to going and seeing a prostitute or watching pornography, there's always a ceremony. And when you put all these things down, if you don't replace the ceremony, you have a very, very empty space, which is very unfulfilling. So one of the things that I'm very hot on is that your practice becomes a ceremony. Your practice becomes you making a relationship with your soul. Your practice becomes you having a very exquisite relationship with the divine, which in a way replaces that need to go out. So that's the first thing. The set that we're going to do today focuses very strongly on the kidneys. And the kidneys are the seat of fear in the body. And for quite a lot of us, why we use addictively is because of uncontrollable fear. There's the word begins with A when you use the letters to say something else. So fear is false expectations appearing real. It's not an anachronism, it's something else. It's not an anagram, it's
an acronym.
Acronym, brilliant. The acronym for fear is false expectations appearing real. And a lot of what we deal with, which drives us to use, but also very much appears in sobriety, is fear. So fear has quite an interesting effect on the physical body. It affects the kidneys. And the kidneys have two glands that sit above them called the adrenals. Have you heard of the adrenals? Adrenaline is produced by the adrenals. And adrenaline is a useful hormone. It's a fight or flight hormone. The problem with adrenaline is it makes you go very fast. The second thing with the adrenals is that they produce a hormone called cortisol. And if you have messed up your hormonal flow because of eating addictions, drug addictions, alcoholism, and addiction to intensity, you produce too much cortisol. And cortisol is the hormone that makes you stressed. So fear is very linked with stress, yes? When you start getting frightened, the first thing that you'll do is produce this hormone called cortisol. And cortisol, it's a very interesting hormone. Do you ever feel stressed? Do any of you feel stressed, like you're going too fast? That's cortisol. Cortisol is a hormone that takes 24 hours to 48 hours to come out of your body. It feeds on carbohydrates and sugar and caffeine. That's what feeds it. So our national addiction to Starbucks, and would you like a pastry with that, feeds the adrenaline cortisol function in the body. So the thing that destroys cortisol in your body is endorphins. And endorphins come from the three glands in the head. And endorphins are your body's internal morphine. Endorphins eat cortisol. If I go too fast, do say. Endorphins eat cortisol. So when you practice yoga, you release endorphins. You eat the cortisol. You start to learn to manage your moods. You start to discover that it's actually possible to come down out of this very elevated state through posture and breath awareness. So the way that I will teach is that I will expect you to close your eyes and focus on your third eye, and as much as possible keep your eyes closed. When you get to the end of a posture, please stay calm and still, keep your eyes closed. And most of the work that the body does is after the posture is over. So if you hold a posture for 3 minutes, and this is quite a nice set, at the end of each posture, sit and just allow yourself to experience what you have just done. And I teach in a very physical way. I help you get really aware of what you're working on, what you're affecting, what you're changing. So, has anybody never done Kundalini yoga before? You've never done Kundalini. Have you done any yoga before?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you know what is Agni breath?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, that's one of the breaths that we'll do today. So the rest of you are familiar with that. And then
I'm not really.
Breath of fire.
I've only done it.
Yeah.
Okay, breath of fire. To master breath of fire takes a while because it builds the nervous system. So it takes a while to get good at it. If you can start, show me that you can pump your belly and expel air through your nose. Yeah, exactly. When you lose the rhythm, slow down. And then speed up again. And there'll be music that will help you keep an appropriate rhythm. What else do I need to tell you? The root lock. Are you all familiar with the body locks? Tell me you're all familiar with the body locks. Do you understand the nature of the body locks? Very, very interesting. I need to explain a little bit more about the body locks for you, because one of the roots of the addictive personality is low self-esteem. Would you agree? Very big root of addiction. Very interesting thing about the first lock, which is the root lock, which is the anus, the sexual organs, and pulling the belly. This group of muscles, and there's eight muscles that wind themselves through your pelvis, these muscles, basically, when they're tight and working, they hold your soul in your body, they contain you. They enable you to rise up. When your pelvic floor is strong, you can have a much better sense of self. And particularly if you're doing Kundalini yoga, you need a place from which the energy can become up, can root itself. So the pelvic floor and the root lock are very, very important. The second lock, which finds itself here, just beneath the ribs, is the hara, which is said to be the center of man or woman, is very much, it's slightly above the belly, but when you tighten the second one, you tighten here. When you pull the third one, it's the throat, it's how you express yourself. So a lot of the work that we're going to be doing is about strengthening the core sense of who we are, strengthening the pelvic floor, and then working on the projection, particularly the creative projection. That's not where we're going today. We're not doing all that third chakra stuff today. We're very much concentrating on the second chakra, the water element of the body. All our low self-esteem, all is focused around fear. So that's what we're doing. Is that clear? Okay. If you have questions, do feel free to ask. If I ask you to get into a posture and you're really not comfortable with it, I can change it for you, so do say. And then in the meantime, we tune in. So with Kundalini Yoga, we make a sacred space and we chant a mantra, which is a very beautiful mantra. It means, I bow to the divine within. And the mantra is Ong Namo Gurudev Namo. It's not Om, it's O-N-G, Ong. Okay? So just sit with your spine straight. Long, deep inhale. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Sexual organs, pull the belly, tighten the belly of the hara, pull the neck lock. You can feel the spine is girded when you do this. You can feel the strength either side. And exhale. Hello, lovely. Do you not want to get a mat?
Yes.
They're over there. You can take a rubber mat. They're there. I don't know why. I seem to have started a fashion for not. Okay. So, We're going to start with warm-ups. So let's start by working on irritation. I'm sure none of you get angry. I get furious. Okay, this is a very nice thing for irritation and anger. So inhaling up and start to the left and exhaling forward
over the left knee.
Inhaling up and, sorry.
Exhaling forward.
Okay, so just keep moving, keep breathing, and put on music. I play completely inappropriate music. and I'm fine with it. Powerful breath, inhaling, stretching up, eyes closed, tongue pulled back, press to the roof of the mouth. So find a rhythm. Stretching out the back of the pelvis, you're releasing tension in the spine. As you come up, you're pressuring the kidneys, and as you go forward to the right, you're massaging the liver. The liver is the seat of anger in the body. Stay there with long, deep breathing. So now you're stretched forward over your knee and your pelvis is screaming, as is the back of your thigh. I need you to stay there with long, deep breathing. You're starting to open up the back of the pelvis now, stretching open the ligaments, particularly the nervous system. Use the exhaled breath to stretch forward. Just stay with that discomfort, but every exhale allows you to stretch forward a bit more. Inhale up and exhale to the right. Over your knees and just rock the shoulders up and down, just releasing any tension in the back of the pelvis. I need you to get really warm, and this one you can feel both hips, both the backs of the legs stretching out. Just use the breath again, releasing the tension. And exhale. Okay, legs crossed still? Yeah. Okay, so you're going to take hold of your knees. You're going to inhale, pull open your chest. Exhale into a deep slouch. Inhale, really pulling the chest open, and exhale into a deep slouch. Powerful breath. Powerful, strong, strong breath. So as you exhale, you really feel the shoulder blades opening. As you inhale, you really pull your shoulders back, feel the ribs stretching across the sternum. Quite a seductive movement. It stimulates serotonin, which is a hormone that makes you feel good. Slowly, double your speed now. Straight, hold the breath, squeeze the root lock. So now you're still, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And exhale, and be still. Now if you can pay attention to how you feel in your physical body, it enables you to still the mind, but it also allows you to note perhaps how the increased hormonal flow and the oxygen levels are starting to change how you feel. Front platform, come onto your elbows. Hands in prayer pose. Feet, knees straight, feet off the ground, knees off, I mean feet on the ground, knees off the ground. Feet off the ground, great. Breath of fire. Hands in prayer pose. This posture is incredible for the core abdominal muscles, but it has another magic ingredient to it, which is that it stimulates your thymus. Can you stay up? No? Mm-hmm. Do it from your knees. If you have problems, do it from your knees. That's it. It stimulates your thymus. The princess over there with the knee, with the, yeah. At least if you want to do it on your knees, you must keep your pelvis straight. So look at me. You're going to do it on your knees. You can't do it. You mustn't do it like that. Do it like that. Okay, so keep your pelvis straight. Tighten your stomach muscles. This is a posture I will return to very often. It's very, very good for depression and for totally changing how you feel. You've got 10 seconds more. And if you do your best, inhale. Hold the breath, squeeze the root lock. Each week you'll build up phenomenal strength. And exhale and relax. It's a very, very strong posture for self-esteem and boundaries. Close your eyes, and if you haven't, go well. Close your eyes and just go into the centre of your chest. The thymus is a gland above your chest that regulates not only your immune system, but also your will. And that posture stimulates the thymus, so it generates an extraordinary feeling in the chest of almost excitement, or it generates a feeling of positive emotion. So it's very good if you are depressed or find yourself ever verging towards suicidal thoughts. It's very, very good for that. Do you feel warmed up? I know it's very warm in here, but I need you to be physically warmed up.
Yeah.
Okay, if you do, then let's start the set. I know that there's a beautiful princess who came late. I mean, not that you're late, the timetable's wrong.
Yeah.
I know, they're changing it. But we're doing a thing on fear today. Okay? So we'll start with a very interesting posture called Sufi grind, which its roots are in the first chakra. Sufi grind, the posture you're about to do, it's very good for letting go of your history. It's a posture that detoxifies the body. And it massages the kidneys and the liver. It stimulates the spinal hormonal flow in the spine. Produces a very, very large amount of serotonin. Again, I mentioned it earlier. Serotonin is a hormone that makes you feel good. So when you get to the end, watch. It's very hypnotic, the way that it feels by the time you get to the end. Most people don't do Sufi grind correctly. Personally, I would like you to shift to the side and then arc your chest and neck forward, inhaling, and then keep going around, and then open the shoulder blades as you slouch. Open the chest and the neck, inhaling, and slouch as you go back round. So it's long, deep breathing. I'm going to put on fantastically rhythmic music, and you can get lost in it. So you're going to do 3 minutes. Tongue pulled back, pressed to the roof of the mouth. Tension on the third eye.
Thank you.
squeeze the anus essential towards the belly. Pull under the ribs, tighten the neck by pulling the chin slightly back. Make sure your head is upright. The princess in front of you, raise your chin slightly. There. Okay, keep that tight, and you can feel the girding of the spine. This allows you to get the kundalini energy rising by having strong muscles either side. You hold it. Keeping the eyes closed, exhale. And enjoy the posture, the after effects of the posture. Very much dealing with the first and second chakra, that posture. Who am I? Where have I come from? What do I want? Next posture is, I like to use the word interesting, you might hear it a lot. Yogi Bhajan, who was my teacher, was very successful at getting people to shift their history. And there's a very interesting thing about the shoulders. The language of the shoulders is fascinating. We have a chip. Have you heard this expression, to have a chip on your shoulders? And we judge people's moods a lot by how they sit, if they're depressed or they're you know, they've got the hump. There's very interesting words to do with the shoulder. Yogi Bhajan taught a lot of very painful arm experiences, and I understood something very, very early on when I did tantra when I was 7.5 months pregnant with my first child, and I remember sitting for 2 hours like this, 7.5 months pregnant. A very interesting experience, unbelievably painful, staggeringly painful, sitting in this tent with all these other people for 2 hours. And it was very interesting to go through it and to come to understand that what it did was it totally changed my perception of who I was and what I was capable of. And a lot of the painful arm meditations that he does teach are based on this concept that we limit ourselves. We choose, I mean, we take on what other people say about us and to us, but we also choose to limit ourselves. And when you take on these painful arm meditations or these arm postures, you can discover... First of all, it's very interesting to discover how vile your mind is, because your mind will be vile to you in a posture like you're about to do. Only 3 minutes, I'm not going to torture you that much. I like torturing you, but this is only 3 minutes. The second thing that you will discover is that if you change the words to, I can't do this, this is fucking awful, to, I can and I am, it's really interesting what happens. So I'm going to ask you to take this on. Like this. This is quite a nice posture, because it's actually how women used to pray when the Romans were around, before the Romans came along, holding up the moon. So can you see I'm very right-angled? I am really right-angled. So there's a lot of energy being built in the hands and the wrists. It's actually almost painful. Long, deep breathing. You're going to close your eyes. You're going to slow your breath down. But before you close your eyes, let me show you one thing. Instead of putting your arms down, which will trigger a sense of shame, if you lean forward when it gets too much, you release all the tension in your arms. You don't give up on the posture, and you carry on, okay? So don't put your arms down, because you just end up hitting this awful kind of inadequacy. Don't bother with that. Just lean forward and then come back to it, okay? So slow the breath down, and time will fly. Pull your tongue back, press it on the roof of your mouth. And when you watch your mind going, she doesn't know what she's talking about, I don't want to do this anymore, you just start to repeat the mantra, I can and I am. And I'm timing you, okay? So slow the breath down. there's divine endorphins building up, which you're going to get to really, truly experience in a minute. You're halfway. Posture, keep the eyes closed, inhale, hold the breath, squeeze all three locks, tight, 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 keeping the eyes closed, exhale and release your arms into your lap and watch what happens, it's so exquisite. How was that? Was that less hideous than expected? Was it nice? The afterwards is divine, isn't it? Afterwards is just amazing. But it's that thing of having a really concentrated focus on inside and staying inside brings you to the place where you understand what you're doing, which is quite fabulous.
Can you talk a little bit quickly about like the shoulders and stuff?
Did it hurt?
Yeah, because...
You did well, you're beautiful to watch doing it. You're very elegant, it was lovely to watch you doing it.
Yeah, it's excruciating.
Yeah, but you know what's a great way of dealing with it? Is in your mind, if you think about all the crap that you're carrying around that you don't want anymore, you put it in little black bin liners and you throw it on your shoulders. It's an amusing way of dealing with the pain. Mm. Because actually, what I was taught is that you hold a lot of your history in your shoulders. And so you can use this pain to burn it off. If you make a conscious decision, I don't want this anymore, I've had enough of this, it can go. It's a great way of dealing with it. If you want to do more of that kind of work, if you go on my YouTube channel, I can give you a card later, I've got a lot of those kind of meditations on there, some really interesting ones that you can take on for 40 days, and they're completely transforming. But it's taking it on appropriately. If you really understand that it's a way of shifting, and particularly of understanding how much you limit yourself, you can use it as a way of expanding yourself, which is really where it becomes very empowering.
So is it not also about accepting that it's there? Should you also be accepting of that?
No, you can...
There?
The thing is, if you fight it, you suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that awful thing. I remember, I read this book about death. I'm fascinated by death. And in this book, this guy talked about how hell is your resistance. Hell isn't a place. Hell is what you resist. Yeah. So on a certain level, yes, I mean, recovery is hell is the resistance. Recovery is about acceptance. The whole thing about coming to terms with who you are, accepting it, and then, okay, what bits do I want to change? How do I change them? What you've just done, all of you, incredibly, if that's your first time of ever doing it with that consciousness, very beautifully as well, is you did you come out of it not perhaps thinking you couldn't do that, you weren't going to do it, and you did it? Because if you take on, you know, you start building up the time and you get to do an 11-minute one, you really discover that, I didn't know I was so powerful. I limit myself. That's what we do. And so did you have this voice that came in and said, I don't want to do this, this is how I can't? And then you change that with, I am. Because I can't is a really interesting mental expression, because actually you are. You are actually doing what you say you can't do, and it's a very interesting reversal when you reverse it. So, yeah, I play a lot with this stuff, because I think that we do all limit ourselves, and you can use these experiences to expand, to open, to become what, because all of us have a desire, we all naturally have a desire to go more, to become. It's innate in every single one of us, no matter how bad we might think someone else is, there's actually a part of them that always wants to go further, to come up. And this is a great way of doing it, with a consciousness. So let's go into the third posture, which takes place on your hands and knees. This is called cat-cow. And the art with this posture is to get the breath the right way round. If you consider, when you drop your back and you raise your chin, you're stretching your lungs, therefore they're expanded. So that's your inhale. And when you exhale,
you're compressing your lungs.
The only time that it's recommended to take it gently is if you have sciatic problems. But it very much, what this posture does is it stretches the inside of the spine. It massages all the intestinal organs. Very, very good for the kidneys and the liver.
Could you do we always inhale with nose, I think?
You inhale through the nose and exhale through the nose, unless I ask you to do differently.
Okay.
All right? Chin is up. Hold the breath, squeeze the root block. And exhale. Sit back on your heels, curl up in baby pose. Put your hands by your feet, palms up by your feet. Gently, gently come standing up. You don't have to race into it. Next posture is an interesting one because the femur, which is the large bone in your leg, holds your white blood cells. It's what produces the... It doesn't produce your immune system, but your white blood cells are a major part of your immune system. The muscles surrounding the femur are the largest bone, largest muscle mass in your body unless you're 9 months pregnant. And they hold the largest amount of blood, and then the femur as a bone holds the oldest bone cells in the body. So the bone cells of the femur are 18 years old. So this is a very interesting posture because it brings together will, because the immune system is linked to your will. It brings together the oxygenation of the blood, but it also it focuses very much on what it is that you want. So it's a fantastic posture to set a goal to. If you had a compromised immune system, I've worked a lot with people with Hep C, where the immune system is very compromised. It's an incredible posture for Hep C because it doesn't affect the liver directly. It's not an uncomfortable posture to do for the liver, but it's a very potent posture for the white blood cell count. We will work with HIV very well as well, and anything that's compromising the immune system. So start with your right foot forward, and you want to line your right foot up with your instep, about a metre apart, so a metre from your... A meter is usually from your nose turned away to the tip of your finger, being close to mine. And then go down, and you're looking at your thumb, and you're doing a version of archer pose. So you look at your thumb, and you set your goal. Now I need you to feel this muscle. I need this muscle to burn. So if the muscle isn't burning, you're not doing it right. And the burning pain is buildup of lactic acid, which is to do with how quickly your blood absorbs the glucose that is emitted. So just long, deep breathing, but in your mind, focus. What is it you want? Really keep your focus. Right leg is the positive mind attached to the sun. male side of the body, very driven and focused part of us. You're nearly there.
Is that baby?
For your elbows. We started the warm-ups with front platform. We're now going to do back platform. Ideally, you'll do it on your elbows with your hands and fists here. So we're coming back to the thymus and very particularly on the back. It massages and strengthens the kidneys, which are, you know, the kidneys are in the back of the waist here. So you push up, toes to the floor, breath of fire, okay? So 1 minute, powerful breath. It's an uncomfortable posture and that's fine. I'm fine with that. Can you lift up?
No.
Okay, straighten your arms and lift up like that.
I have a wrist problem.
You have a wrist problem?
Yeah, I have a wrist
problem. Okay, turn over and do it on your front.
Okay.
On your knees. If you're on your elbows, your fists need to be up by your chest. Beautiful princess beside me, yes. Okay, you're halfway. This is core abdominal muscles. This is the thymus, the kidneys, the pelvic floor, self-esteem, the kundalini. It's just a most fabulous posture. It's very good for sleep as well. You've got 10 seconds. Stay with it. Push up a little bit higher. Excellent. Inhale. Squeeze tight, tight, tight. Squeeze the root lock. Tight, tight, tight. And with exquisite grace, exhale and release the posture. Very good. And lie down for a moment. You have to make it look easy. Are you all okay? I'm quite tough, but you seem to be up to the task. None of you have been broken yet, yeah. By the experience. Okay, well, the next posture is about opening the mind. That the open-mindedness is linked to how flexible your spine is. You're going to work your way to standing. And your next posture is deceptive, because you go into it thinking, this is easy, but it's not. Okay, so you're going to stand straight, feet slightly apart. Inhale up and then exhale forward. And you're going to gently put your hands under your feet. And you're going to stand like this with long, deep breathing. And very gently, back of your legs will scream. And just try and stay with it. Use the breath. We're going to go for 2 minutes. Okay? So let yourself become very soft. Don't, and this is where you don't resist, interestingly. You want to resist in the strength in your legs. At the top half of the body, you just want to let it get stretched. You're stretching your nervous system from the tips of your fingers to the tips of your toes, but you're also making a closed circuit of your nervous system by having the palms of your hands under your feet. So you're making a quite interesting loop in your body, a very corrective loop. From your lungs and squeeze the root lock with no air in your lungs. Inhale and very gently release and very gently uncurl. And then when you are uncurling, keep your eyes closed, come standing up. And just be in your nervous system as it retracts. Be in your body. Don't worry about thinking. Just feel that exquisite sensation of all those nerves. Going to totally reverse that posture now, so come onto your stomachs with your heads towards me. You're going to take hold of your ankles and you're going to come up into bow pose with breath of fire. I know, such fun. Everybody loves this posture. It's just the most fabulous posture on the planet. But the good news is, take hold of your ankles, not your feet. Come up, ready, steady, go. Breath of fire. For those of you who are female, you're massaging your ovaries and toning your uterus. You're stimulating, everybody is stimulating the kundalini energy. You're pressurizing and massaging the kidneys. And stimulating the thymus and the thyroid. You're going to aim for 2 minutes and you've already done 40 seconds. Powerful breath of fire.
Oh.
30 seconds do not count. The root lock, it's a fabulous position to squeeze the root lock in. And exhale and release. Well done. Very good. You're strong, you're all strong. I'm going to push you through the next two postures so that you get a decent relaxation. So take a long, deep inhale, stretch. And I would like you, when you're ready, on your backs with your feet towards me, please. Okay, next posture, interestingly challenging posture. You're going to work the psoas muscle. The psoas muscle is a notoriously, what's the word? Easier for men than women, the psoas muscle. I don't know why. Psoas muscle, if you've given birth, the psoas muscle is the muscle inside the back that the babies slide down. And it's an interesting muscle because what it does is it comes down the back of the spine and then it comes through the front of the pelvis to the front of the hip. So it's a muscle that's very, very linked to self-esteem. It's a muscle that's powerful to build, very linked into containing the pelvis, containing the energy in the pelvis. So, good. This is a very good posture if you do things like run. I'm a runner, although I don't look like one. I'm a runner. So it's a fantastic posture to work on for boundaries and self-esteem, and it looks like that. Interesting thing about the posture is it makes you shake. Very instantly makes you shake, and of course we don't like that sensation, so it's a posture that builds a lot of resistance quite quickly. But that's what I want you to be doing. We're going to aim for 2 minutes. And the shaking is okay. The shaking is your nervous system. You're very keen. Hang on a minute. Shaking is your nervous system meeting... And you've got very long legs, so you've got far more effort than everybody else. The shaking is your nervous system meeting parts of itself that it hasn't met for a long time. So don't worry about the shaking, although you have a tendency to not want to shake. It's fine. It's just part of the posture. Okay? What it uses is your stomach muscles. It uses the psoas here, that's why your hips will ache, but it also, to stay up, uses the stomach muscles. So so when you're ready, stretch your legs out, and then lift them up. I know it's very nice, it would be nice to cheat, but you're not allowed to cheat. And the longer that you make your legs, the easier it gets, interestingly. Because you almost hold your legs up by the muscles at the back rather than the psoas muscle. You've almost done a minute. Don't let it go, don't let it go, don't let it go. seconds to go. You're doing really well. I can and I am. Remember the mantra? You can do it for 10 seconds, I know you can. And inhale, keep the posture, inhale, hold the breath, squeeze the root lock. And exhale, with an enormous amount of grace, close your eyes. I suggest you lie flat, just to release the pelvis. Those of you who are seriously suffering, flatten your legs, because you'll release the tension in the psoas muscle. And it's been such fun.
Stretch pose.
This looks like this. Completely hideous. No, not too high. You've got to look at your toes for breath of fire. And as you do it, I'll tell you what you're doing because it'll distract you from your agony. Look at your toes. Come on. Hands reflect. Your hands are actually reflecting back the energy that you're building up in the third chakra over the belly, building up a fantastic amount of power in the body. You must look at your toes. What this posture does is it lines up your nervous system as it meets down the front of your body. Helena, do one leg at a time. Keep looking at your toes. It's really interesting because if you shut your eyes, it's actually much easier. But you're realigning your nervous system. Beautiful princess at the back, if you're struggling, do one leg at a time. It's not that I don't want you to torture yourself, because I do, but build up the strength. Look at your toes. You've got 15 seconds. It's called stretch pose. Stretch. Make yourself longer. It'll get easier. 8 seconds. You can do it. You can do it. Stay with it. 3. You're going to stay up and hold your breath now. Inhale. Hold the breath. Squeeze everything. Look at your toes. And exhale. Wow, well done. Well done, very, very good. Now, my intention is that you're going to feel fabulous, but it may take a moment, so I'm not going to ask you yet. But what I am going to do is bring you all blankets so that you cover yourselves up and you relax. You get a relaxation. I know it's warm in here, but you've actually worked really hard and you don't make it feel like it was really easy. This is for you. This is for you. I'm sure I'm just going to do that calmly. I promise you this is not the relaxation. Let yourself relax. I am going to put on, which is a mantra. This is the Maha Mantra, enchanted by Sai Baba. toes. Rotate your hands, rotate your feet. Rub your hands together, rub your feet together. Bring your knees to your chest, put your arms in a T-shape. You're going to inhale, you're going to exhale your knees to your left, your head to your right. Wakes you up, the thought of which way to go. Inhale back up again. And reverse, knees to your right, head to your left. Bring your knees to your chest, give them a hug, and then when you're ready, come sitting up for a meditation. Great. I'm sorry, that was short. We started late with a bit of confusion. So, mantra. Mantra is a very potent force for stilling the mind, and the mind of an addict is a nasty place. I don't think any addict should be allowed inside on their own. I certainly shouldn't. And mantra is an extraordinary way of stilling the mind, because that's its job. You distract the mind with mantra. We don't have an enormous amount of time, but we're going to do a mantra, and I kid you not, at the end of it, you will feel something quite extraordinary, as long as you just shut your eyes and just keep quiet, basically. When you chant sacred words, now sacred words don't have to be Gurmukhi, they don't have to be Sanskrit, they can just be the Hail Mary. They're words that have been imbued with an incredible amount of energy over an extraordinary length of time by a phenomenal number of people. So these words have power. They are words that activate what's called the Shabad Guru, which is pressure points inside the mouth, 84 pressure points that sit behind the teeth. And when you chant sacred words, you tune in and activate the Shabad Guru. So mantra, combined with mudra, mudra is your hand posture, mantra and mudra, now you have two forces controlling the mind, because you can't do anything except what you're doing. So the mind becomes peaceful. This is why mantra is a very powerful tool in addiction recovery, but also anyway to just still the mind. So the purpose of mantra is to stop thoughts. I had a really stressful experience yesterday, hideous experience, and had to do something that I didn't want to do, and I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so actually all I did in the end was lay in bed and did mantra, and then I stopped thinking about it and went to sleep. Very powerful tool. It's a very powerful tool to know that you can call on it and use it to stop the mind. So we're going to do something today called the magic mantra. And you're going to have your little finger touching the outside of the palm of your hand. So all the way down it's closed, yes? There's no gap between the fingernail of your little finger and the base of your hand. You're going to cup your hands in front of you at chest level. The mantra is Ek Onkar Satgur Prasad. Satgur Prasad Ek Onkar. What this means is, Ek Onkar means there is one God. Satgur Prasad, it means the light is the gift of God, basically. There is one God, the light is the gift of God. The light is the gift of God, there is one God. A guru is somebody who takes you from darkness to light. That's what the word means. So what you're going to do is look down your nose at the lines in your hand. Your left hand is the negative mind attached to the moon. It can be construed as your past in this concept, in this context. The right hand is the positive mind attached to the sun. This, in this context, becomes your future. And the lines on the palms of your hand, the meditation removes obstacles. It is said, and my own experience, is that if you repeat this mantra 5 times, you can completely change your mood. But we're going to repeat it continuously in a monotone for a few minutes, okay? So let me just, we'll only be able to do it for about 4 minutes, but you'll still get the effect. So don't close your eyes, just look down the nose. Inhale. Ek Onkar Satgur Prasad Satgur Prasad Ek Onkar. Ek Onkar Satgur Prasad Satgur Prasad Ek Onkar. Ek Onkar Satgur Prasad Satgur Prasad Ek Onkar. Ek Onkar Satgur Prasad Satgur Prasad Ek Onkar.
Ekon ka Satgur Prasad, Satgur Prasad, Ekon ka. 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 Inhale. Hold the breath, squeeze the locks. Close your eyes, release your hands. Chant, you vibrate, and when you vibrate, you stimulate hormonal flow. And you stimulate hormonal flow from all seven glands.
we have spent an hour and a half in a very sacred space, and we need to close this sacred space. We do this by repeating the mantra, Satnam, three times. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within guide your way. Inhale. Please do ask. It's, you know, I'm sure stuff comes up.